Good morning. Glad you're here today. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's going to be a hot one today. So make sure you're all drinking your water. We do have lots of water right out here. Make sure you drink lots of water. Didn't you enjoy that from Brother Rick? He can do some amazing things over here, and the creativity to be able to think about what to play and how to play it and to do all those things. I want a mean old teacher telling him he had all those things wrong. And so we couldn't tell he made a single mistake at all. I couldn't tell at all. That's a good thing. And he did a fabulous job. That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Miss Shelley, as well, for singing this morning. And let's stand, and we're going to read from the Word of God this morning, Psalms chapter 119. We're going to go back to our series that we had before. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalms 119. We began reading there in 129 down through to 136. Last time the Lord gave opportunity, we already looked at verses 129 through 130. Lord willing, we'll look at 131, 132 this morning and look at those verses. But let's read our text this morning. Make sure we have our context. The testimonies, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not my law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. What a beautiful day it is. We're thankful for all those that are out here today. We're thankful especially for all the young people. We have many teenagers, young people here this morning. What a blessing that is. Thank you for our visitors that are here today. Lord, if there's anyone here that's their first time with us today, we're grateful. We're grateful for them coming and visiting with us today. We pray, Lord, that our service could be a blessing to them. And Lord, I just pray, God, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Lord and personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign and convict those hearts to come and make sure their salvation today. Lord, we do pray for our sick this morning. We do pray for, especially for Miss Tina this morning. We pray, God, you give her health and comfort and grace and rest this morning as well. Pray that you be with our missionaries today. Put your hand upon them. Bless them this morning. Pray that you be with this message, Lord. May it speak to our hearts. Be the words that we need to hear today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this next section, some people like to be told what to do, but most do not. That was a pretty truthful statement, I think. I think that was a pretty truthful statement. How many of you like to be told what to do? All right, there you go. That kind of solved the problem. We don't really like to be told what to do, and especially, gentlemen, while we are driving, we know how to drive. All right, we can put it right there. And I remember one time I was going somewhere. I think I was going to play golf with Brother Terry Randolph, and he didn't quite know how to get to the golf course, so he turned on the GPS. This was early on, and he said, I want y'all to know, I named my GPS, and her name is Sally, and I don't let my wife know that Miss Sally was in the car telling us where to go, because he doesn't like ladies telling him where to go. But to this time, this one time, Miss Sally had to tell us where to go. We don't like to be told what to do, and really most of us don't. It's really in our human nature. We want to be free to make our own choices, to make our own decisions, to decide what we're going to eat, what we're not going to eat. We don't really like it when our spouse tells us to put down the dessert menu because there's nothing on there that we're allowed to have. We can have a cheat day, right? You can have a cheat day any day you want. And if you want to cheat every day of the week, you can cheat every day of the week with your menu. Nobody can tell you what to do. It really seems to go against our human nature. You remember this, I love this, especially having been a youth pastor for many years. You remember when you couldn't wait to be 18 and then no one was going to tell you what to do anymore? Oh, I'm telling you what, when I'm 18, I can stay out as long as I want to. My room can be as big of a mess as it wants to be. No one's going to tell me what to do. So you know what I'm going to do when I'm 18? I'm going to go join the military because no one's going to tell me what to do. Heard that from so many young people. I was raised in a military home. They like to tell you what to do all the time. But we don't like it. We don't like that. However, the third benefit, and this section, I've titled this section of this verse of Psalm 119, the bountiful benefits of the Bible. The third benefit here that we can see from God's word is that God is willing to use his word to do the hard work in our life and tell us where to go and what to do, where to be and where not to be, where to go and where not to go. It's really easy if we let God and let his word guide us and tell us where to go. Life is so much simpler. I remember when I got out of home, and I was one of those teenagers that got rebellious, and life is easy when you're at home, and you don't realize that as soon as you got your own apartment and your own bills, all of a sudden responsibility hits you right in the face. Now you got to pay your own car insurance, you got to pay your own electricity, you got to pay all of those different things. And it really, when you thought about it, when you look back to it, it was easy living at home. I made more money as a teenager than any other time, because think about it, you have a job, you're getting paid $15 an hour, you don't pay electricity bills, you don't pay any bills, it's all right in your pocket. It's good. My daughter paid for 2 years of college in about a year and a half, just living at home. She didn't have any bills, it all just went right to it. But then once we're out from home, we have to rely on those things that we have been taught and how to be and how to go. And God's going to give us a benefit of the Bible. The benefit of the Bible here is it will tell us where to go. It's easier to make decisions because really if we allow it to, the decisions are already made for us and where to go. And so if you look at our text there, verse number 133 is where we're going to pick up. We've already gone down through to verse 132 a couple Sundays ago. And so verse 133, now it says, order thy steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So the first benefit we see here in this verse is, it can order my steps, or to make firm. This word order here means to regulate, to methodize, to systemize. It means to subject system in management on execution, to direct, to set or establish. In other words, here's the writer, and he sees the word of God. And remember, you can go back to verse number 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. I love the word of God. And the word of God can tell us exactly where to go. But not only that, he wants us to have a better picture of it. It's to regulate or to methodize. Or if you think about manufacturing or even in a military, a machine in a manufacturing plant, it only does exactly what it's designed or programmed to do. It doesn't do anything else. You can go to the Ford manufacturer, and the little robot that's making little stamps every day, there's not a conversation with the direct manager. Hey, do you think you're going to do some stamps today? What do you think you want to do today? No, the machine does exactly what it's ordered to do, and the machine doesn't function until someone inputs orders for it to do. It doesn't go anywhere. Our military are the same way. Soldiers move when soldiers are told to move. The young guy at the very, very bottom, the little private at the bottom, he does what the general tells him to do. And really, the private doesn't have to make the decision of what hill to take because someone's going to tell him to do it for him. He's ordered to do so. And so the Bible understands, and the writer understands this morning, that this is more than just a road map. Y'all remember the Rand McNally maps? I mean, everybody used to have them, the big old giant map that you'd keep under your car and you'd flip through it. If you were going on a road trip, you'd have the Rand McNally in your map while mom and dad were driving. And man, we only got this far to go. But it just seems like that far to go is forever. So, you know, it makes you feel like you're going faster. If you have the GPS and you zoom in on your GPS, it makes it look like you're going faster on the map. Don't zoom out because it looks like it's going to take forever. Zoom in and it just makes it look like you're flying down the road all the time. But no, the Bible says it's different. You see, God says, I'm going to give you a roadmap of where to go and what to do and where to be and the decisions to make. There's a roadmap. But God said, I want to be more than just a roadmap. You could take that Rand McNally and you could take that MapQuest, or you could take any of those and you could see where the general suggestion is. And my sister's good at this. She'll pull up the GPS and they'll tell us to go one way. And almost inevitably, you know what I'm going to say? I don't agree with that. We're going to go a different way. We're going to go a faster way. And my associates are like, well, fine then. I'm turning my phone back off then, because you know where you're going. And this is the way a lot of Christians are in their Christian life. God says, I want to give you the roadmap. But not only that, the benefit of the Bible is I will actually move you for you. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to just have someone make all your decisions for you in your spiritual life? And God says, I can do that for you. I don't have to make a decision on where to go, because God's going to physically move me for me. I can see the roadmap. I can see where I'm supposed to be. But again, God's going to move me in that direction. What's the Bible say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's going to, if you allow me, I can show you the way. But then if you'll really allow me, I'll actually move your steps. It's almost like if we were just kind of a doll that, what's that thing called with marionette? There you go. I knew the word, but I just didn't quite know the word. See? That's why I married her. She's smarter than me. A marionette has a string, and what's the string doing? The string is moving it. The marionette doesn't decide what it's going to do for the day. It doesn't decide how it's going to make its dance moves or walk or do the different things. No, someone else is attached to the screen, to the strings. And so here was this writer, and he says, literally, he's saying it this way, command my way. When we open the Word of God on a Monday morning before we go to work and we read the Word of God, we're literally asking God, where do you want me to go today? And order my steps. And more than just illuminating it, take my feet and physically move me to the directions that you'd have me to go. Order my steps in the Word. Command me. Psalms chapter 31 verse 3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me where you want me to go. And so we have to give God the freedom to do so. Psalms 43:3, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. It's kind of like trusting your wife to guide you with the map. You're supposed to keep your eyes on the road, right? All right, I'm not the only one that doesn't keep my eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road. Preacher's got a new car and it says it'll play Netflix while he's driving down the road. That could be a dangerous, dangerous thing. Keep your eye on the road. Keep your eye on the road. But give God freedom to move you. Give him the freedom to move you. Thinking back to our teenager times and how many times we've slammed the door to our bedroom and threw ourselves down on our bed and said, I can't, my mom, dad, they can't tell me what to do. I want to do my own thing. Really, they're just trying to help you, trying to get you to adulthood, trying to get you to where you ought to be, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. They're just trying to help you. But we have to allow God to do that. Allow him to tell us where to go. Allow him to tell us what the Word of God says. You know, most of the problems in all of our problems of society, they're all solved by God's Word. So when we have a decision to make, we don't try to make it ourselves. We say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What does the Word of God tell me to go? Where does the Word of God tell me to say or to do? I've been many times to go counsel with someone, and I'll sit out in my car before I go ding on the doorbell, do anything. Lord, I have no idea what to say. I need you to tell me what to say, where to go, what to do. It's not on me, it's on you. And the writer understands, if the Word of God is so precious to us, and if we love the Word of God so much, and it is precious, and it is valuable, beyond value for anything else in this world, and it has these are the very words of God. Let's try that again. These are the very words of God. And yet, we resist so often the words of God telling us where to go. The words of God telling us what to say. No, the Bible says, command me. Lead me where I ought to go. The Bible says in Psalms 143:10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of righteousness, of uprightness. We have to trust his path. Trust his plan. Psalms 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. His way is perfect. How many times have you ever said this? Well, I wish I'd have known that. Have you ever said that before? I wish I had made the right U-turn. I wish I had followed some directions. I wish I had listened. I wish I had obeyed. I wish I had offered to drive instead of him or her.
My daughter almost killed me. I was teaching her how to drive. And I tried to tell her what to do, but she was just driving. And I have a 3 strikes policy when I teach my kids how to drive. My dad did the same thing. Everything you do wrong, that's a strike. And when you get 3, you get out of the car and we drive home. You're done. After 3 strikes, you're done. And that's how we teach them how to drive. So we went to go get Chinese food at night. And so I told Ashley, all right, I want you to turn right here. I need you to turn this way and go down this road right here. She looks both ways, and she just starts driving. I'm like, Ashley, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going, Ashley? Where are you going, Ashley? And I had that, you know when you're about to die kind of thing, or you feel like you're about to die kind of thing, and you get that urgency. Ashley, where are you going? She literally turned, but rather than turn into her lane, she just turned right into opposing traffic. And she just started driving down opposing traffic. I'm like, Ashley, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? She goes, I'm going home. Ashley, you're on the wrong side of the road. You didn't listen to me. You're supposed to, oh, okay, what do you want me to do now? I said, you got to get off and turn back. Oh, you only turn back around. Yes. So she gets on the shoulder, throws in reverse, and reverses the car back down the same. Ashley, what are you doing? What are you doing, Ashley? I said, strike 1, 2. You're close to 3. And so she got on there, and she came home, and she goes, Daddy was mean to me. He was yelling at me in the car. Like, Ashley, we almost died. All you got to do is listen and learn on where to go. God will guide us in the directions. Command me where to go. Lead me into the way to go. For God's way is perfect. We can think about that. And there's so many times where we've tried to go our own path, go our own direction. Well, I don't need to be in church on Sunday night. I have my own path to do. But God says his path is perfect. His path is right. First of all, order my steps. Second of all, let not iniquity have dominion over me. Look what it says there in our text there in Psalms chapter 119. My page is turned. Psalms 119 in verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If you like to mark in your Bible or take notes, you ought to mark that any. Let not any iniquity have over me. Isn't it amazing what we will tolerate? Consider it in America today. Isn't it amazing what we could tolerate? We were kind of discussing this in the men's prayer breakfast this morning, how this world has no fear of God in their eyes and even in their heart. And I can remember even back when I was a young man, which was not as far back as history in the room. Didn't you like that? I thought about that. That's a good way to say that. No one messed with churches. You remember that? Even if you were never even a church-going person, no one touched churches. It was a sacred place. It was a place that people honored and respected. Even if it wasn't your religion, or even if you didn't believe in God yourself, you honored and respected that place. Not in our world today. Not in our world today. It's amazing what we tolerate, even as Christians in our world today. It's amazing what we just let to skip by. But here in our text, he understands that we can read 1 John and understand, for God, with God, it is light and dark. We, like in our world today, we like to say there's a little bit of a gray area. But I want to help you understand today, with God, it's light or dark. It's righteousness or unrighteousness. For God, it is sin or good. It is wrong or it is right. There is no gray area with God. It's either sin or it's not. It's either the right thing to do or it's the wrong thing to do. But we've gotten to our place in society where we can tolerate certain sins. We can tolerate certain things, and they can have a dominion over us in a certain way, or even in a small way. God says in the Word of God, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But the writer here understood that I can't even let the little things, I can't let any iniquity have dominion over me. And the way we can do that, or again, is allowing God to guide us. He can take us from temptation. He will guide you away from those things. God promised in his word that there will always be a way to escape. Always. Always be a way to escape. Well, if we get caught doing things wrong with a certain crowd, get a different crowd. If we're around people that use foul language, get around someone else that doesn't use foul language. You know, I like going to church because I'm pretty confident here at church nobody's going to use bad words. This is the house of God. I personally don't have any good best friends that use foul language. I don't let those things have dominion over me. I don't have to have any problem with someone drinking alcohol because None of my friends drink alcohol. I stay away from the things that this world tolerates and is right. I don't have to worry about those things. We were talking about this morning, getting some cuffs put on. I've never had cuffs put on. I don't have to worry about it either. Police officer pulls me over. I don't have to make the phrase, well, I hope I don't go to jail this time. I don't fear those things. They don't have dominion over me. People have said it before. I can't go back to jail. I've never been to jail. We don't have to worry about those things. If this word of God guides our heart and life, we don't fear those kind of things. We don't fear those because God will always give us a way to escape. Does that mean that we're perfect? Certainly not. Does that mean that even I myself go down the wrong path a time or two? Yes, none of us are perfect. But God says if we allow God to purge us and cleanse us and lead us and guide us, there will be no sin that has iniquity, no iniquity that has dominion over us. Psalm 71, verse 1 through 3, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. If we're close to God, we're a long ways from sin. Long ways. Let not any iniquity. He'll give us escape from those temptations. He'll allow us to have victory over the flesh. Psalms 129, verse 23 through 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, the best way to avoid sin is to provide good alternatives. Good alternatives. If every time I go to that place and there's always alcohol present and I'm really tempted to drink that, guess where I just don't go anymore? Don't go there. Don't do those kind of things. If the computer is a sinful thing for me, put it out where someone else can see it. Put it that place. My wife and I have made a commitment to one another. I have the password to her phone. She has the password to my phone. If she wants to look at my phone, she says, can I look at your phone? I hand her my phone. Accountability. She has my password, I have her password. She doesn't hide anything from me, and I don't hide anything from her. She gets a text, and then I let her read my text. If you want something to be very, very private, there's differences, obviously. But there's no secrets. There's nothing in our hearts and lives. We try to help each other. We try to keep each other in the right path, in the right places. Go away from those kind of things. If all we're doing is going to doing worldly activities, why not participate in church activities? If you struggle for what to do on Wednesday night, the doors are open. The Word of God is open. You can't be worried about doing something wrong on Wednesday night if you're in church on Wednesday night. Consider it this way. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Isn't that what God says? But God also says that he's within our heart, right? Is that true? Where does God want to be on Wednesday night if we're a child of God? Where do you think God wants to be on Wednesday night? God wants to be in church. He wants to be there. He wants to be in those places. You see, we have to let God guide us and direct us. I can promise you, I'm going to be as nice as I possibly can. If you spend some time in prayer on Wednesday afternoon, God, where would you have me to be on Wednesday night? I know he'll tell you. Oh, Harvest Baptist Church is having services on 7 o'clock at night. I want to be there. I want to be there Sunday night as well. You see, we have to let not any iniquity have dominion over us. Get around some godly company. Teenagers, if you're around other teenagers that want to do bad things, find good teenagers. Find good ones. Well, they're always getting me in trouble. Find ones that don't get you in trouble. Find good ones. Fill the void with good, not sin. And lastly, thirdly, deliver me from the oppression of man so that I keep thy precepts. Deliver thee from the oppression of man so that I keep thy precepts. Verse number 134, Deliver thee from thy, deliver me from oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Psalms 31 verse 2 says, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. Do you know there's going to be those that don't understand or like that you go to church? That you're a faithful child of God? There are going to be those. But the word of God is our buckler, as we've already read. It's our strength. This is what we live for. We live for the pleasure of God, not the pleasure of man. Deliver me from those oppressions. Psalm 69, verse 14, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. My friends, you ought to know what you believe. You ought to know which Bible is the Word of God, the pure Word of God. You ought to be proud of the church that you attend. I'm proud of Harvest Baptist Church. I like telling people I'm from Harvest Baptist Church. I've run out of tracks so many times already. I think we've had to order tracks just because of Miss Oster and I. We've run out of so many tracks. I love it. I love it. There's going to be those that oppose my stand, but because of the word of God and because of God's direction, I don't have to fear those things. I don't have to fear what man can do unto us, as we studied on Wednesday night on the life of Stephen. God delivered him. He delivered those things. The word of God is what gives me the standards that I have for my family, for my own personal life. It helps me to make the commitments in my life. And because of that, I want to keep thy precepts. I want to worship the word of God. I have freedom in America to worship the Lord. But even if we didn't have freedom like we have in America, I can still worship my Lord. I still have freedom. Still freedom to serve and worship God. And I'll not be moved from it. He says in our text there, and so will I keep thy precepts. This is a promise that is made. I will keep my precepts. You remember back to when you said, I do. Anybody? There's a few. I know the camera was probably rolling like this. Some of y'all might have done your I do's with a chisel. And a flat stone, I don't know. I'm kidding, of course. But you made that commitment. You made that promise. And it's been amazing. I've met more couples in this church that have made it to 50 years than I think I've ever have. This is amazing. I laud the faithfulness and commitment of so many godly couples in this church. It is a blessing and an encouragement to me. But isn't it amazing how we are staunch to keep that commitment? But we're willing to disregard our commitment to God's word, disregard our commitment to our local church, disregard our commitment to our missions, our giving. But God says, if the word of God is so precious and he guides us, I'm going to keep it no matter what. I shall not be moved. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Every storm, every difficulty, every face, and every time God directs us and guides us on a path, it gives us courage and fearlessness to get through the next one, to not be discouraged at the next time, to be able to be stronger and firmer in the next decision. I made the right decision the last time. I can make the right decision this time. I read my Bible this morning and it felt good. So tomorrow morning I can read more of my Bible. You can get closer and closer and closer to God's Word. Closer and closer to it. It makes us stronger. It makes us more firm. And it makes us to not waver. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No, if God guides our path, he allows us to escape from temptation, we can commit to his word and we won't waver on it. The word wavering here means going to compromise or turn back. Not once. So this morning, is God guiding you? Is God guiding your path? Men, when you get up on Monday morning, before you head to work, do you pray, God, move me today? God, make my decisions for me. God, move my feet. Tell me where to go. God, I want you to light my path, but more than that, God, I want you to drive my car, if we could put it that way. Move me in that way. Lord, I'm struggling with some temptation. I'm struggling with some sin. God, would you move me away from it? Would you illuminate the way to escape and let me go the correct way, the right way? Lord, I may have some wrong friends, but Lord, would you give me some good friends? Would you give me the right ones? Lord, I love your word, so therefore I want to promise to keep it. Can I encourage you this morning, when the time of the altar is this morning, for God's people to come and recommit themselves to God's word? Recommit themselves to following God's word. Recommit themselves to allowing God to have control of our lives. Maybe there's one here today that's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My friend, today there's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There is no way to heaven except to be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus saith unto them, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no other way to heaven. You have to let God take you there. You have to have God guide you the way. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, so we have time to consider. This past week, my friends, today, did any iniquity have dominion over you? Did you fail this week? God says all you got to do is come, confess your sin, and that relationship can be restored. Just spend some time in God's word today. Just spend some time in God's word this past week. Have you been to God's altar to say, thank you, Lord, for guiding me, for directing me? Maybe you're about to face a difficult decision. There may be an important decision to make this week. Wouldn't it be better just to let God make the decision for you? Let him make those decisions and just let God. Just let God do it. Wouldn't it be better just to come to the altar and say, Lord, it's all on you. Take control. Take control. It's all on you. Wouldn't that be better? And maybe there's someone here today that's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They do not know where they'll go when they die. My friends, you can know that if you'll allow God to save you, to give you everlasting life. As we stand to our feet this morning, as our brother begins to play this morning, would you come this morning? Would you say, God, would you guide and direct my heart and life?